this is the final part of the Vision Destiny series for 2016, and once I finish today, we'll make the whole series available for people who've not heard all of it. As sons of Issachar, and God's prophesied over us that we're to be sons of Issachar, 1 Chronicles 12:32. Sons of Issachar were men who understood the times with the knowledge of what Israel should do. And so God is calling us to understand the times and seasons we're in and then know how to respond to that. And as a ministry here, our destiny is to be forerunners like Joshua and Caleb. Therefore, we have to be willing to spy out the land and help other people engage. And we've been operating according to a prophetic timetable, and I believe we are in this time where God is bringing judgment of on his household, which is not a negative thing. It's a very positive thing, because God is just looking at his people and decreeing and declaring a verdict to give us an opportunity to embrace who he's called us to be. So we're in cycles of judgment, justice, grace, and mercy, getting ready for the harvest that's coming of laborers. And that's really the key area I want to look at today. So as a ministry, over the last few years, we've received two scrolls that were given to us that's had on it a mandate, one for the harvest, a billionfold harvest, which was prophesied by Bob Jones in 1975. And that 40-year period ended last year. So we're recycling now to a new beginning. And also a scroll that Jesus gave us for the Joshua generation. And the Joshua generation are those who are forerunners, mentors, to be able to help the next generation cross over into their inheritance. So we've accepted responsibility for that and to fulfill our part of God's plan in it. Last time we looked, and the focus was on what has God said in the last year, and particularly for this year, to do with the scroll for the Joshua generation, and we looked at that last week, that we need to understand that God's heart is for those who are lost in the wilderness, those who are covered by religious systems, and he wants them to come into the fullness of their supernatural inheritance, the promised land, if you like, so that all of us can engage heaven beyond the veil, not when we die, but when we surrender to God's purposes for our life, we can take our places of responsibility as sons of God, as God's called us to be his sons. So today we're going to focus on what God has said about this fiery scroll for the harvest, how we can prepare to be a storehouse for that harvest to come, and how we can prepare to be ready to equip the harvest for their inheritance and destiny. Because that's God's purpose, that all of us will be equipped to fulfill his purpose for us, to know who we are, our identity, our positions of authority, and outwork them on earth as it is in heaven. Bob Jones, who prophesied that harvest, also gave a prophetic word in 1983, sharing three signs that would take place before the arrival of the billion-sold harvest. One, that America would invent a morning-after pill. And remember, this is 1983. Two, that America would legalize same-sex marriage, which was unthinkable at the time. And three, that a watch would be invented that laborers working in the paddy fields in China could wear listening to worship music. So very interesting for those who've got iWatches and Samsung watches, because this was prophesied in 1983, that these would be signs. So all those signs have actually now been fulfilled. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave us his son. And that is a key for everything in understanding who God is and who we are and what we're called to do. He came as the light of the world. Jesus came into the world as the light of the world. And he calls us effectively to freely give away to the world what we've received from him in relationship so we can be the light of the world. Now, I want you to think, what would it really look like to be moved by that dimension of God's love? The love that would sacrifice his own son for us. How would we be changed and transformed, and how would we behave and act if we were moved by the same love, to the same dimension? Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. This is talking about Adam and Eve and God's commission to mankind, if you like. He blessed them, he empowered them, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, I would posture that the same good works apply, to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule, which God has prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So he's already has a destiny for us, as individuals, as his people, to fulfill and outwork his plan. is whether we're going to engage in that destiny and fulfill it. Because it's a choice for everybody. It doesn't force that on anybody, but his desire is that we will enter into who we really were created to be. So we have a mandate from God authorizing us and a blueprint guiding us how we should fulfill these truths. So he has given us a plan, and that's what we're looking to outwork. So all of us have been given responsibility to be fruitful. So whatever you're called to do in your life, you have a promise that God has empowered you to be fruitful in it and to multiply, not to stay in one place, but to multiply and to fill creation with the glory of God, to subdue and establish his rule, his kingdom. So he has seated us in heavenly places, in the heavenly realms, and has made all the spiritual blessings of those heavenly realms available to us to fulfill that purpose. Which is why, if we don't engage the heavenly realms, then those spiritual blessings are somewhat requiring God to just give them to us rather than us to go and receive them. And that's really why he's called us to enter beyond the veil, to take our position as a heavenly authority, because it's in heaven that we establish the kingdom so it can be outworked on the earth. That's why he's calling us to be the Joshua generation, to possess our eternal destiny and inheritance. It isn't just a physical thing on this world, which is part of it, but actually there's a spiritual dimension that enables that to be fulfilled. So God's desire is that we're moved and motivated by his love. And if we're not moved and motivated by his love, what are we moved and motivated by? And that's something that we really need to ask ourselves. What is the motivation of my life? Because if we're moved by his love, we will be an expression and a demonstration of the Father's heart, his love for a lost, hurt, and separated world. Because there's a world out there of people who don't know Jesus, who don't know God, but are seeking and searching because there's a hole in them. Because God has placed within us a need and a desire for wholeness, and that can only be found in him. So if we're moved by his love, we'll be moved to demonstrate that love to the world. So God has entrusted his creation to us, and he's entrusted creation's restoration to us, his children. Which is why, according to Romans 8, God is wanting to release manifested sons on the earth so that we can actually answer creation's groan. Because the whole of creation is groaning, looking for sons to respond to. Because the whole of creation was created for Adam and Eve to bring God's rule and government into, so that creation would respond to them. And creation will respond to us when we're in a position of sonship. God called Joshua out of the wilderness, and he called Joseph out of the prison. And he's calling each of us to embrace our position as a son of God to prepare for the harvest that's coming. Because that's what it was all about. Joshua, who was helping them to establish their nation that he called them to possess, their promise. For Joseph, he prepared storehouses to receive the harvest, has one in rulership in Egypt. So he went from a prison where no one knew him to being second in command in the whole of the Egyptian nation. And God can do that to his people when we're willing to embrace our destiny. So Joseph prepared storehouses to be ready for the harvest. And God is calling us to do the same thing today, to be ready for what he's wanting to release. Question is, will we answer God's call? Will we be moved by his love for the world? Or are we just content to continue with our own lives and look after ourselves, but not think of the wider aspects of God's kingdom? Will we be willing to pay the cost to prepare for that harvest? Because there is a cost. There's a sacrifice you have to make to fulfill God's purpose, because you have to surrender. And it says, deny yourself. So are we willing to pay that? God spoke to me and said this, I'm desiring a bride for my son. I'm sending out the hunter angels to begin to gather in the harvest. Son, I'm preparing the storehouse is the primary and most vital function of this season, which is why I'm sharing it today. Prepare the storehouses to receive the harvest. Call forth the mandates to build and establish the blueprints of a new order, embassies of heaven on earth. God wants heaven to be manifested on earth. That was always the intention. The garden was never to be the end of Adam and Eve's situation. It was the beginning to enable them to expand, to fill the earth and to bring God's rule. But there was some subduing that needed to take place. Call forth the blueprints for New Order Ecclesia and storehouses for area and regional embassies. And I haven't got time to go into the whole thing of what an embassy is, but it operates in a foreign land under the authority of the land that sent it. So if we have heaven embassies, we're operating under heavenly government and heavenly law, not earthly, which gives us a whole different remit of authority to be able to administrate. My people must build the storehouses for the coming harvest. The blueprints are ready, but where are those who are willing or will say, here am I, send me? God is beginning to move in our hearts in new ways as we respond to his heart. And I have personal experience of this from last year. And I had quite a lot of surprising encounters with God. Not heavenly encounters, but just encounters that actually changed how I felt and thought about certain things. So he moved me to engage in some very practical things. And one of the things he engaged me was the desire to change my heart for certain things. And one of them was for a watch. Now, those who know me in the past, my watches have been somewhat plasticky and Casio orientated, nothing against Casio. But because as I was growing up, I used to wear my watch on my left hand because I'm right-handed, which made sense. And every watch I ever had stopped and stopped working. And I had some really nice watches. I had a really nice watch for my 21st birthday, stopped working. So it was like, so in the end, I felt I needed to change arms. So I put my watch on my right arm, which I've worn ever since. No watch has ever stopped since, but it set into me, well, watches aren't really that important because they tend to break, so I'll just get one that's functional, which was usually a black rubber strap one. So last year, I went to the US in May, and when I came back, I had this desire to look at watches. Now, I'm a geek, so I research everything, and I tried to find a watch that would do every possible thing that I wanted to do. So it had to have all these functions on it. And I couldn't find one. But I had the desire in my heart because God put it there. And it was a strange thing because before that, I wasn't interested. Now, there's a few things illustrating that. A, I put my watch on my left hand originally. And the left hand is not the hand of government. Now, watches help you understand the times. So God is calling us to understand the times and the seasons. But we need to do it from the position of our right hand, which is authority. So when we're on the right hand of the Father, our left hand is embracing Jesus, but our right hand is free to govern and rule and establish the kingdom. So eventually we went on a holiday and I found this, an array of watches, like masses of them. So I went to chat to this guy one day who was there and I sort of said, look, have you got a watch that does all these things? Thinking he isn't going to say yes. And he said, well, what about this one? So he showed me this watch and it did everything that I actually wanted, but it cost a lot of money. And I was like, I really don't want to spend that watch. I mean, I normally spend £15 on a watch. this was a lot more than that. So I sort of was talking to Deb about it. She said, oh, go on, go ahead. You know, because I'd been given some offerings when I was in the States. So it was like, okay. So eventually it's like, I got this watch and it was such a bargain. And I checked out online to make sure actually the price they were offering was, and it was 60% off. So I thought, okay, I'm going to get this watch. So I got this watch and as I was getting it, even the excuses then were, well, it's a bit heavy, isn't it? It's like, you know, and it is heavy compared to a plastic watch. But in my mind, I had excuses, but actually God's desire in my heart overcame them. So that was an interesting thing that happened last year. Then there was another situation. Deb loves flowers, and she likes all our garden to be really nice, but of course I have to do all the work. And I must admit, it's like, I can say I resented doing the work, but actually it was a duty rather than a delight, let's say. And then last year, all of a sudden, I had this desire to grow things. And I had this desire to grow things to such a dimension, I actually built a greenhouse to do it in. And again, I think this was God touching my heart in a natural way to help me understand what he wants to do in a spiritual dimension, to grow, to cultivate, to establish, to build. And then, Deb has been asking me to, this is a lot of testimony about Deb, not that she nags, but, But when the NAG quotient really reaches a certain level, then I usually give in and do DIY projects, you see. And so she's been on to me about the bathroom. And it's like, we've got an ensuite, so I haven't really bothered about someone else's bathroom. It's like, it's just a bathroom. But no, it didn't look very nice, whatever. So eventually, so all of a sudden in my heart was, I'm going to do this bathroom. And I stripped the whole thing back to an empty room and put in a new suite and tiled it from new and did everything. And it was no way I would have done that before. I would have, okay, let's paint the tiles or something. You know, or let's make it look all right. But actually, God wanted to establish something new and restore it to a completely different situation. And then, even stranger than that, actually, at the end of the year, I had a desire in my heart to build a railway set. Now, I had a railway set when I was a kid, and really, I wasn't bothered. It was just like going around a track. It's like there's no 5-1 scale electrics or something. You know, where you can race, you know. So I swapped it for an action man and a fishing rod, you know. So I really didn't really have much desire for a railway thing. But I used the thing of, well, we've got grandchildren, so it'd be really nice to be able to build a railway thing for the grandchildren to play with. So I set off onto this mammoth task to actually establish this 6x4 board from scratch with a whole railway station. And I built all the houses that went on it and it's built the whole thing. You know? I'm not even bothered now to play with it, and we'll no doubt do that with the grandchildren. But it was the thing about building it and establishing it and making things and being creative that God started to change my physical things with a reflection of what he's wanting us to see in a natural, in a physical, spiritual way as well. So all that was taking place last year. And for those of you who understand, the whole railway thing is quite a significant prophetic thing for us in terms of establishing the equipping track and other things, which I'll explain. So I feel God is really wanting to help us engage in something new, creative, to establish new things and not be stuck in our old ways of doing things like we've always done them, but to be prepared for new things. So I believe God's calling us to prepare for the harvest. We have a mandate for that. We've been asking him for a blueprint of how to do it. What is the plan? How do we prepare for the harvest? What is it going to look like? How practically can we do it? Because we can all sit here and say, oh, God, bring the harvest, and we do nothing. It's not going to happen because he wants us to be involved in that process with him. So we will need to see change and transformation to how we do things, to how we are the ecclesia, because the ecclesia, and I sort of struggle with the word church quite a lot because of its connotations. And the Greek word was ecclesia, which are people gathered together around a blueprint. And how we gather here, God is wanting us to be creatively looking at how we can establish that for preparation for the harvest. Now, what he said is we need to become a place of exchange. And I'll explain what exchange means for us as we go on. But remember that term, exchange. About in January, I had a vision here on a Sunday morning of a train, and this train was heading for destruction. So again, similar prophetic picture. This train was heading for destruction. It was going over a ravine where there was no bridge, so it was going to crash and burn. And I saw on the train there was first-class carriage. Everyone was being served. Everyone was really comfortable. I saw a second-class carriage where there was a nice self-service buffet car. You can go and look after yourself. Then I saw a third-class carriage, which was tatty, dirty, and had no food in it. Then I actually saw there were some freight carriages that had no seats, but people were in it, actually hopping a free ride. So I saw this train, and then I saw Jesus standing on a platform with a white flag, and he was waving down the train. And he stopped the train, and he walked up and down on the platform and he offered the flag to the occupants. Now, a lot of them just seemed too busy to notice, but some got off the train and received the flag, and then he actually gave them a new ticket for a new train. So I thought, okay, this is sort of creating a picture, a dynamic of something that God is showing. Now, in 2013, I had a vision, and a really clear vision, of this area and the railway system and the track being restored. Because since the early 60s, when Mr. Beeching, in his infinite wisdom, took away all the side tracks and all the branch lines, we've had a very minor railway system in the nation. And in this vision, I saw the track being relaid and new stations being opened and old stations being revived for our whole area. And it went out from Milford Coombe and went out to along the coast route. And it was a really powerful vision. And I saw all these stations being rebuilt. And that inspired the sort of the blueprint for the equipping track, how we can equip for destiny, how we can prepare the Joshua generation for the harvest. And that was the picture. So we had two rails. One rail was the revelatory encounters, where the stations were, where people could engage God supernaturally and engage heaven and learn how to see in the spirit and engage in the spirit realm. The other was ministry rail, where there were ministry stations where people could be set free, helped to fulfill their destiny, be healed, whole, equipped. So that was the equipping track that came as a revelation from that vision. But how you get people on the train? How do you get people? And what is the train? Because it was just a picture of a track. So we needed stations. And at the time, I thought of them as departure stations. But actually, they are the exchange, the disembarkation stations, where people get off their old life and get on a new one. And God is calling us to have those things in place so that people can get on to a track which will equip them. So in January, God asked me to legislate before I go to bed. Now, for those of you who don't understand what legislate is, it's a kingdom governmental term. It means the process of making or enacting laws. Now, in the kingdom, and if you're going to rule, because the kingdom of God is about rule, and as I read in Genesis 1:28, we're called to rule, then you have to know how to use or make laws. Otherwise, everything's lawless. So God asked me to make some laws. So when I think, what do you do when you get a law? Well, you legislate it. What is it to legislate? To use the authority of the law to provide, create, prepare, or rule. That's what you do with a law. So I went on this journey for, I'm still on it and still doing it most nights as God directs me. But to start with, there was a lot of establishing new legislation and new laws. So I started to receive and make legislation. Now, first legislation was about removing restrictions. The second thing was about removing religious bondage. The third was about preparing our hearts to feel God's heart for the harvest. And I want to share them in context of the exchange and being shaped to be preparing for the harvest. So I want to share, because this gives us the authority to do these things. Because if you don't have a law, and a law is not a negative thing. Most people think of the law, you can't do this, you can't do that. But actually, a law just gives you authority to do something. And this is positive things. So we have laws that enable us to use that authority to do what God's calling us to do. So I want to share those laws. And God said this, the stations and track must be established. If you build it, they will come. And if you know film references, God knows film references very well and uses it to communicate to me a lot. You must encourage and release others for their tasks in the establishment of these foundations. Make ready the way for families to become clans and clans to become tribes. And I'll explain that later. Son, you're authorized and mandated to legislate into the restrictions on the church. I challenge you to remove the restrictions and limitations. It is time to clear away the obstacles, to remove the shadows, and to step into the light. Because it's like the church system can be like the prison that Joseph was in. And God wants to take us out of the prison. Or the wilderness that Joshua was in. And God wants to bring us out of the wilderness. The mists around the closed, clouded minds must be dissipated. This is what God said to me. The hindrances and entanglements must be removed so the limitations of minds that are stuck in what has been can become free to embrace what can be so that it can become what will be. God wants to free us from the restrictions of the past so that we can actually form the future and be history makers. The veils must be removed, the restrictions lifted to embrace the limitless potential of my reality. The way, the truth, and the life are to be experienced, not conceptualized and contained. The limits of what is possible must be removed for my purpose to be achieved. You must begin to entertain limitless grace and mercy to be able to grasp what is the true reality beyond all expectations. Because no matter how big our expectations are, they're not big enough for God. call for the legislation of justice, where the lion and the eagle will roar and soar. Talk about that's this year. We're in a situation where the lion government and the eagle legislation will come together. New dimensions of everything can be yours if you're willing to let go of the old and embrace the challenge of the new. My legislative response, because when God tells us we are free to do something, we have to then go and do it. So then I began to produce a response. And my response usually is to start calling things into being. So I call for the removal of the limits to unveil the beyond, the limitless potential possibilities of eternal reality. Because we can't look at things from a time frame thing and get God's heart. We need to see it from an eternal perspective. I call for freedom from the religious restrictions that are creating limitations. I call for justice against all the fear-based entanglements that are hindering us being a place of exchange. I call the heavenly host to be witnesses for the justice that all mindsets of limitation will be exposed and removed from the benches. Benches are governmental positions of 3, 7, 12, and all the mountain benches. Mountains are spheres of governmental influence that we have. I call for the courage and boldness to possess the unknown, to be instilled into our hearts, our minds. I call for all selfishness to be exposed and surrendered. I call for hearts and minds and wills to be filled with compassion, zeal, and passion. I call for all confusion to be removed from our hearts and minds. I call the exchange to be commissioned and the departure lounge to be opened. And I'll explain that again in a minute. I call for all obstacles to be removed from those who will be drawn to the light. I call for the mountains to be made low, the valleys to be lifted up, the rough places smooth, and the crooked paths made straight. That's from Isaiah. I call for the opening and administration of the everlasting doors. That's the connection between heaven and earth, the windows of heaven, and the spiritual atmosphere over us to be cleansed. I call for the angelic armies of heaven to be released with the fire into the atmosphere over our spheres of influence. I call for the principality of our city of refuge to be installed. That's an angel that will be authorized to be in the heavens to enable us to outwork being a city of refuge, a place where of that embassy of heaven on earth. And then God said this to me, Son, legislate the preparation for the harvest for your areas of influence. So once the restrictions are removed, then we can actually start to call things into being. So I did a heavenly court case. Now, prayer is in the Word of God is not seen as a warfare type of thing. It's seen as a governmental, judicial thing. That's why Jesus said to go to the judge to get a verdict. So we have the ability to engage in the courts of heaven to find out what the legal rights of the enemy are so that we can actually have those restrictions removed. So I did this court case. And this court case was very different from any other court case I've ever done, in that God was both the judge and the accuser. But I didn't feel condemned in any way. I just felt God was basically showing us the things that are in the way for us fulfilling his purpose. So I stood there for my own life, and I only could stand there at that point for myself. I shared this with those of us who've been looking at the whole issue of the exchange. And we actually engaged with that, and we accepted those accusations and stood on behalf of the exchange. The question is, hearing the accusations today, are you willing to stand and accept them, receive a not guilty verdict from God, and then have the authority to operate free from those restrictions? So what was the court case? God said, you're unprepared. Now, I've learned not to argue with God in these situations. If he says I'm unprepared, then I actually am unprepared. You have not prioritized. You do not have enough passion for the lost. You are fearful to share the gospel. You are procrastinating over the preparation. You're taking months over what should be weeks and years over what should be months. You have no urgency over the lost. You have traded on Apollyon's floor. Now, trading floors are things where we receive offers of shortcuts which rob us of destiny. You've allowed yourselves to be distracted from the priority of God's heart. You have substituted good works for God works. You have become self-satisfied with all your good works and missed the point. You have not taken the eternal consequences of separation from God seriously. you've not taken the reality of hell seriously. Now, this was a challenge to me because I've been into hell and I've seen what hell's like. So obviously it didn't motivate me enough. You value worship more than salvation. You have not believed that the gospel is the power of God for salvation for all who are lost. Your mountains have not taken their responsibility for owning the exchange and preparing for good news to be an exchange. Good news is one of our mountains. For freedom to be the exchange, for health to be an exchange, for harmony, blessing, media, enterprise to be places of exchange. So this was quite a challenge, but essentially I put my hands up, received, owned it, repented, renounced it, and received a verdict, which was not guilty. So that verdict released judgment, which enables now something to change. So that enabled a new legislation to be prepared. So I was able to go and present to the court of kings in the realms of heaven as a king and a chancellor. I took a place there and I called for a new scroll. I've never done this before. I've only ever responded to things that God has shown me, but he inspired me to go. And I called for a new scroll, legislation for growth. You're authorized to call in the harvest of specific groups. And this is what the scroll said, and this is what the law now is, and we are now authorized to use it. You're authorized to call in the harvest of specific people groups. The authorization is released to call into the enemy's camp to target the strongest, most resistant opposition. You're authorized and empowered to release the intense light that will turn the Sauls into the Pauls of the next generation. Now, if you know of Paul, Saul was a guy who persecuted the early church, and then God met him on the Damascus Road with an intense light, and he became Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament and took the gospel all over the known world at the time. So God is looking for souls who are in opposition to God right now, maybe in the New Age movement, maybe in other religious movements, maybe even in the Islamic movement, to become Pauls for that generation that's coming. You have been given the authority for each mountain to become motivated and empowered for the growth cycles to begin. You're authorized to call for your united desire for growth to develop. The desire will overcome all the obstacles and hindrances that have been delaying the harvest. You're authorized to open the windows of heaven attached to each of your mountains and release the river of life. You're authorized to employ the ordinances of heaven, usually angelic, assign angelic legions to clear the atmosphere. I authorize each mountain to legislate love in its full force and power to transfer people out of the darkness into the kingdom of light. You're authorized to use the season cycles with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as your counsel. You're authorized to administrate judgment, justice, grace, and mercy, the four pillars of judicial government. You're authorized to plunder Satan's trophy room for those you've been given responsibility for. So as a result of that law, then I was able to go and do some things. This is what I did. And God said, Son, legislate for the release of my heart for the lost. I call for the love of God that so loved the world to be poured out into our hearts. Now I want you to open up your heart to receive this. I call for the exchange to receive the love of God for the lost to be the motivating force behind all that's done. I call for a passion and zeal to be imparted to us. I call for the hindrances and shackles to be removed from our hearts. Lord, give us an attitude of give us the souls unless we die, which has been said over a number of times and has changed nations when people have received that attitude and have responded in that way. There was one guy, I think, in Scotland that cried out, give me Scotland lest I die. You know, we need to be having that attitude. I call for the scroll for the harvest to produce desire in our hearts. I call for the river of life to be released through the everlasting doors over us. I call for the King of Glory to come through with salvation, healing, and miracles. I call you to change our hearts to feel what you feel for the lost, broken, hurting, and separated. I call for love to move us to action. I call for a baptism of love to change our hearts. Without love, we can do nothing. And God is calling us to embrace his love. Without love, there's only religious duty and obligation, which is why there is so much religion, which doesn't have the love of God at the heart of it. If we're going to fulfill our destiny with the scroll for the Joshua generation and the harvest, we must be motivated by love. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Read this from that perspective. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. And this is how important it is to engage in God's love right now. And then God said to me this, son, you're authorized to prepare the exchange. So, okay. So I did. This is what I started to call out. I call for the platforms of the disembarkations to be established. Now, this will become a bit more obvious when I express what this is in a minute. I call for passion and zeal that flows from God's heart to move us to action. I call for the grace of God to equip and empower us for action. I call for the whole church environment to be transformed by the love of God. I call for vision and strategies to be released as scrolls with heaven's blueprints. I call for mandates for action and participation to be released from heaven. I call for the weapons house to be open in preparation for an explosion of love bombs. I call for the platform plans to be unveiled for all those you have assigned for them to come forth. I call for all the obstacles to faith and all the veils of blindness over the lost to be removed. I call for the light to shine, for its intensity to pierce the darkness. I release the hunter-gatherer angels into the highways and byways and compel the lost to come in. Now, I want you to listen to Luke 4:16 from this perspective. This isn't the perspective it was written, but God is wanting us to see it from this perspective today. He said to him, a man was given a big dinner and he invited many. And so think of this as God inviting you today to participate in something that he's wanting you to participate in. At the dinner hour, he sent his servant, today that's me, to say to those who've been invited, come, for everything's ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. Now, don't let that be you. First, one said, I bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another said, I brought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I've married a wife and for that reason I cannot come. And the servant came back and reported to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to the servant, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, master, what you've commanded has been done. Still there's room. And the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. Now, God is giving us an opportunity to be involved in going out and drawing people in. And if we won't be involved, then he'll call others who will be. But we have an opportunity to embrace that and to embrace that call and to be inspired by that call. God said this, son, let the trickle become a stream, let the stream become a tributary, let the tributary become a river, and let the river become a raging torrent of love's life-giving energy and power. Let your gateways be opened and your lives be the channel of my glorious love into the world. That's an invitation for all of us to see that flow out. So we have an opportunity of being involved in this process ourselves, and helping other people to embark in this journey for their lives. The exchange is the name that God revealed for these disembarkation stations. And this came through people seeking God about particular mountains and then that being brought to see, well, what is God saying about this? And a load of us gathered together and we just sought God. What does it mean? What does the exchange mean? So we have engaged heaven and God has revealed that we have 7 stations. And each of those 7 stations are 7 platforms. Our stations for disembarkation or for the exchange are Freedom Community Alliance, what we do here to engage our community, to help people, health, family, ecclesia, education, economics, and justice. Now, I've got no idea what most of those mean, but I know God does, and I know for those who will be called to engage it, he will release revelation. But at the center of that is ecclesia, which is us. Now, God wants these things to be places where we can engage people just like Jesus did on that vision on the platform with a flag, flagging down the train and inviting people to get off. Do you know people who are heading for destruction, where their lives are heading for the destruction because they don't know Jesus? This gives us an opportunity to engage them in various ways. But all of us are responsible for this. So the exchange can be a place where people experience new life for old. The exchange, disembarkation stations where people get off the old train, transfer from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. And exchanging sin for righteousness. Exchanging guilt, shame, and condemnation for forgiveness. Exchanging sickness for health. Exchanging bondage and addiction for freedom in Christ. Exchanging death for abundant life. Exchanging futility for destiny. It's an opportunity for people to get a new life, an eternal life that will start now, so they can actually be part of fulfilling God's purpose for the next generation. So each of these stations has seven platforms, but the central station is the Ecclesia. That means all of us. So if we do not have God's heart of love for the lost, then we won't really want to be involved. And actually, if we don't want to be involved, then all we'll be actually doing is setting up a structure because God said so, rather than because his heart is causing us to engage with a desire for the lost and want to be engaged in helping people exchange their lives. So we have those seven with seven platforms on each, seven different things. Each of us has an opportunity of being involved. As individuals, we're not moved and motivated by God's love, everything we do will become pointless. Because it's only the love of God that's going to motivate us correctly in this. If our hearts are not filled with God's love for the world, then it will be a futile exercise. And I'm emphasizing this because actually it's the love of God that God is really saying he wants to pour out. He wants to change our hearts. If we encounter God's love and we feel his heart of love for those who are separated from him, then we will each be and have a platform to touch a lost and hurting world in the way that God has designed us to do it. It's not one way fits all, because we're all uniquely individual. We all have different relationships with people, different opportunities, but every one of us can have opportunities of engaging with the world if we will embrace God's heart. So what are some of the potential things that that might be? And these are just things that we came together when we met and had suggestions. The platform for the Ecclesia may have our personal relationships. That's an opportunity of engaging people. Our gatherings, people can come and experience the presence and power of God. Miracle testimonies. Testimonies are a great thing of inspiring people to engage God. Supernatural lifestyles. Angelic encounters. Just suggestions. Query, lots of other things. Health. Well, alternative Christian therapy. Let's minister to people and set people free. Healing rooms, healing testimonies, ministering healing to people. Lots of opportunities of seeing the healing mountain authority we have used to engage people, to help them exchange their life because they see the reality of a loving God who wants to heal them. Freedom Community Alliance. Well, we have our communities, we have day center, housing, pastoral support, lots of areas that God can use to help us demonstrate the love of God to people in a way that can help them meet God for themselves and exchange their old life for a new one. One of those is a day center. What can we do in the day center to reach people? Well, pray for them, minister to them, help them meet their needs in terms of giving them food and all the things we do. But actually there are other things. We can minister to them, healing, grief support. Actually do a course that helps people understand who God is. Pastoral support, praying for people. Bridging events. Miracle testimonies. Again, all these things came out as we began to engage and ask God to show us potential things that we could do to reach people. So where do you feel that you could express God's love and be involved? Because it's down to us. What is God saying to us as an individual? Do I feel God's love? Where would I like to be involved? Do you resonate with any of those areas? Do you want to engage with someone's life and help them? When people exchange an old life for a new, when people exchange an old church system for a new order ecclesia, they'll need some reorientation. And when we met, again, God revealed to us as a group the need to be able to help people once they get off that train. And what he said was that we have revelation about the exchange and a strategy for how people can belong and become part of our family. So we called it a departure lounge. Well, he did through somebody in that meeting. Discovering belonging. So in the departure lounge, people get off their old train, they get on a new one. What does it mean to be part of God's family here? A place to discover who we are, what we do and how we do it, to understand our mandate, blueprint, vision, and purpose. To engage Fresh Start, a course that we have, basic foundations of a new intimate relationship with God, with experiential encounters to help begin the journey on the heavenly pathways of relationship and responsibility. Introduction to ministry, through a live bus or a court session or other things. Those are things that we can do when people need reorientation. So then, essentially, this departure lounge then will help people get on the equipping track. So we're going to be looking to trial that departure lounge soon with those who've been visiting us, those who want to be part or looking at being part of the church, those who have never done a belonging evening before. This is going to be a key aspect in helping people understand and exchange old for new, to belong and see where they fit into our church family. So this blueprint that we've been given, and God's given us a blueprint, that's the blueprint that shows our how God has assigned us to do all the mountains that we have, that blueprint has to be established practically. That will enable us to engage the Joshua generation and be prepared to bring in the harvest that's coming. So what shape does that look like? It has to be shaped according to God's purpose. We're not going to design something not fit for purpose. So we need something fit for God's purpose. So he's showing us some things. So all of us have been called by God. We know we've been called by God, but actually, how do we get ready for that call? Practically, that means that we need to be ready to disciple people in relationship. That has to be replicable. We have to be able to replicate it. Otherwise, it'll stay one thing. So we asked God how. We met together on a day and we asked God to show us how we're going to do this. And what he said was, look at how I form everything, fractal patterns, like ferns and fronds. And I'll give you a picture of that. And he also said, I've already shown you. So there's a picture of a fern. And you see that each of the fern is made up of fronds, and each of the fronds is made up of little fronds, and each of the little fronds is made of fronds. That is the pattern of God creates everything in. He does that all the time, and you look at that, you see Fibonacci number sequences and the golden mean in how he's established creation. Now, I've not time to go into quantum stuff today, but it's there. So God also said, I've already shown you a pattern. So when God brought people out of Egypt, they were a potential rabble of slaves with a slavery mentality. And he brought them out of Egypt and he brought some order. So he formed them into families, clans, and tribes. He reestablished their heritage. He gave them order and restored identity and purpose. That was the pattern of how the tribes of God's people were set out in the wilderness and then in the promised land until they found their own nations. And the same for the New Jerusalem. You see the same thing in Revelation about the New Jerusalem. That's what it looks like. It looks like a cube, square, with the different tribes set out on north, south, east, west of that sense. God in the center in the tabernacle of his presence, and actually four orders of Levites or priests around that, which is interesting. And then in Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, it shows it in terms of different stones, different gemstones representing the different tribes and how they're set out. So that's how God has shown us that we need to be established for growth. So we're going to have supernatural equipping groups for that grace growth pattern for us. So that's how we're going to look to do it. Now, we've come full circle on this over the years. We've looked in the past at how we can be ready for the harvest. And to be honest, we never had the heart or the vision to see how it would be fulfilled. So we've had lots of different groups, cell groups and purpose-driven groups. Now God is restoring that back so that we can actually engage that again with a fresh perspective. Now it won't start out like that with 12 groups because we've got 12 groups of people. But we'll probably start out with four groups. And then as we do that, we'll see other groups added until we have that basic pattern. Now, how is that a fractal? Well, when you look at then, each one of those can add groups, and groups can be added until eventually you have the same thing. Now, remember, we're not looking to structure for 40, 50, 60 people. We're looking for a city of refuge, which is 20% of the population will come in to the storehouse. So let's say we live in an area of 60,000. What's 20% of 60,000? Quite a lot. This will enable us to be able to help disciple people into that, so that we can all literally see disembarkation stations, departure lounge, and sea groups, life carriages, if you like. So we're going to look to see each person who comes in this route assigned to a life carriage to help equip them become fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, to subdue, and to rule. So the purpose of sea groups is to encounter God in a supernatural way, to discover destiny and to fulfill God's purpose and values for their lives. To live in and out the manifest presence of God in the dual realms of heaven and earth. This is our vision, to find and fulfill our destinies, to be free, to see, to know, to be, to do, to go. To be the Joshua generation and disciple the harvest that's coming. To freely give away by equipping and discipling others what we've received. To the basic family unit of each tribe, to replicate ourselves into clans, to replicate benches of 3, 7, 12, so that we have government for the city of refuge that's coming, equipping us to be God's sons in relationship and to be able to take responsibility for creation. So we're going to invite everybody to participate in these sea groups or life carriages, to be part of the Joshua generation here and be ready for the harvest that's coming. In the future, everyone who becomes part through this harvest will become part of this and be on the equipping track. Each group will need facilitating. So right now, we're looking for 3 people to facilitate each group, so 12 people. So if you're feeling called to facilitate a group, then let us know. We're looking to have 4 groups of 12 people to begin with, and then eventually 12 groups, which are family groups, which will eventually multiply, become clans and tribes. So we'll start with that, we'll go to that, and eventually go on to that and beyond, once we're establishing a city of refuge. So who wants to be part of that? Who wants to be part of the exchange? Who wants to be part of helping people in departure lands? Who wants to be part of those sea groups? So if you're willing to help facilitate, let the Bench of 7 know. If you're willing to participate and be part of a sea group, then again, let the Bench of 7 know. We're not forcing people, but we're encouraging people. Our desire and hope is that everyone would want to be a living stone in the blueprint that God's given us. It's not mandatory. So everyone who's been here for a long time, right now, we hope you want to be involved in developing those relationships with God and each other. And we hope you want to freely give away what you've received. And this is an opportunity of being part of God's blueprint for what he's doing for the harvest and for the Joshua generation. This is our blueprint. This is for our ecclesia here. But I know people, we listen to this around the world. There are heavenly scrolls with blueprints for every expression of ecclesia that exists. God wants to establish ecclesias and cities of refuge around the earth. Those scrolls are ready to be released for anyone who's willing to accept the call to be part of the Joshua generation for their town, their city, their area, their region. So be open to seek God. God is looking for people to say yes. Now, if we're going to do any of this, as I said, we need to know the love of God. We need God's love to empower us and envision us. And God wants to touch us with his love today. And if we'll open up his hearts, he'll touch us. Maybe you've never felt the love of God before. Maybe you've never known God before. Maybe you don't know God loves you and wants to heal you and restore you and make you whole and set you free. But you can know him today. It's just a choice to say yes to God and open your heart and let him in. God wants to transform us. And I'm just going to make these declarations, and then we're going to have a time of engaging God together as we worship him by surrendering him, singing to him, praising him. In that time, open up your hearts and lives and let him touch you. So I call for judgment, justice, grace, and mercy to be released. I release the winds of change to shake the wilderness mountains. I call for a holy dissatisfaction to arise in the valley of decision. I call for the release and the cry, there must be more than this. I call for light to pierce the darkness of the coverings of men. I call for a new exodus from the wilderness. I call for a new way to cross beyond the veil into their supernatural inheritance. I call for the rising of the Joshua generation. I call for the order of Melchizedek to function. I call for legislation of sonship, inheritance, restitution, and recognition. I call for the love of God to be poured out, for the love bombs from eternity to be released from the weapons house of heaven, exploding into our hearts. I call for the eternal love between Father, Son, and Spirit to be poured out into our hearts, transformational love flowing out of heaven. I call for a new dimension of love, beyond measure and understanding, to be released into our lives. I call for greater grace and manifold grace and grace upon grace to be released. I call for the mercy that triumphs over judgment to flow out of heaven into our spirits like a stream flowing into our hearts. I call for the love which God loves the world to be imparted to us. I call for the love for the lost, the hurting, the broken, and the lonely to be imparted to us. I call for a love that breaks our hearts with what breaks God's to be imparted to us. I call for a passion for the harvest. I call for a love stronger than death, the song of all songs to be released. I call for the love that we can never be separated from, that will never fail and never run out to be released. I call for God to manifest his full presence as love, like a rushing wind, like a tsunami, wave after wave of unquenchable love. So be open today to receive that love and feel God's heart for the lost and feel God's heart for those who are in the wilderness. And let's be willing to engage and allow God to use us. Amen.